Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for coming this morning, and welcome into God's house this morning. And appreciate y'all making it out. Let's open up our time together with a word of prayer this morning. Thanks, Papa God, for waking each one of us up this morning, for giving us the gift of life for one more day. Because we're all still here today, you're not done with us. And you've still got a mission for us to accomplish with our lives. Thank you for entrusting that to us. And I just pray that we'll have an awesome time worshiping you this morning, worshiping your son and lifting him up. I pray a special blessing over the kids who are on their way up to summer camp this morning. And I pray that you will meet each one of them there at that camp and draw them closer to you. And if they're not in your kingdom yet, I pray that you would bring them to that point where they would choose to follow you, Lord Jesus, and choose to commit their lives to you. I pray also for Pastor Nate as he's going to spend the week out in the wilderness. I pray that you will meet him out there and that you'll speak to him and just recharge his batteries and fill up his tank. And I pray that you will meet him in the woods this week. And thank you for the time that we get to share together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all stand up. We're going to worship God this morning. The theme this morning is Jesus. We're going to sing about Jesus. Sing with me. On you pass the point of weary. Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Tell the past to disappear. Let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Ooh. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for being the drums this morning. Our drummer is on his way to summer camp, so yeah, let's keep singing about Jesus this morning. This is an old chorus that I woke up singing in my head one morning this week, and so this is going to be, anybody maybe under 50 might not recognize it, but maybe some of the older crowd will. But it's easy, you'll pick it up. You'll pick it up. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that. So much for singing this morning, and we're gonna release the kids to go to their Sunday school classes, third grade and below. They're dismissed to children's church, and you can talk among yourselves. The question of the day is, do you believe in ghosts? Why or why not? So that should be a fun one. All right. Are you going to use this one, or
this one,
okay?
Yep.
Lame. Hey, are we on? Good morning, Cornerstone. All right, you didn't respond because I wasn't on. I wasn't hot yet. I get it now. I get it. Y'all here, you're present, you're awake. So I see a lot of new faces here. So by the way, I am not the pastor here. You came on an interesting week, shall we say. I'm doing a three-part series here. And this is not typically what we talk about, but I think it is important, and Pastor Nate, who is our actual pastor man, agreed. So here I am. So we're going to do this week and next. So Behind the Veil is what it's called, and week one was Living in the Shadow of the Real. That was the title I had. This week is Real Shadow and Real Light, and you'll hear a little more about what that means here coming up. By the way, the question of the day had to do with belief in ghosts. Is that a biblical concept? Are ghosts real in the Bible? What do we got? Are you getting an emphatic no? We're getting, yeah, okay. The Bible doesn't say there are ghosts, but it does say there are spirits. And there is a difference, right? I absolutely believe something happened. I absolutely, and you'll see based on what I'm going to share here. I 100% believe things like that happen. But people die, and once we're dead for good, we don't come back here, right? That's something else that's visiting you. Okay, super big idea. Let's see if anyone remembers. I'll start it off for you. The Bible was written for us, but not to. Wow, you guys learned. Outstanding. It makes my teacher heart swell. The Bible was written for us, but not to us. What I mean by that is the Bible was written and we can read it. It's information saved for us, right, for today, and that is part of the purpose, right, to keep this information, this knowledge for future generations. However, it was not written with cars, right, and laptops and America in it. They didn't exist at the time, right? So if we're looking at that through our 2026 American filter, our glasses, right, our modern day glasses, we're going to miss a lot of stuff. Yeah, you got to be able to go back to where they were writing it, the audience, what they knew, what they believed, and then you can get a full picture of what's actually happening. Yeah, kind of like the Odyssey, right? That's big in the movie theaters now, I think, right? Homer wrote the Odyssey to preserve that knowledge, right, directly for his people, of his people, wrote to his people. However, we still have it today, so it's also for us. You with me? Nice. All right. So, 3 weeks with Brother Rick. I'm Brother Rick, in case you didn't know. Hi. Like it or don't, right? Here we are. Week one. I got lots of helpful feedback about week one. Notice how I changed here. Deep dive is now all in caps and underlined, whereas I had it in quotes before, right? I threw a lot at you. I did. I know I did. Some heads were spinning and things. I think there have been good conversations afterwards. So, you know, the Bible has great information for all of us, regardless of how much the guy on stage is throwing at you all at once. But the big question was, is it literal or literary, right? So these gods, are they real gods, right? They have names in the Old Testament, but are they actually real, or is it just some kind of like metaphor that we're supposed to read and understand something that's not actually real? Week two, that's where we are today. We've got a quote deep dive, I put in quotes again, we'll see, into what evidence there is for spiritual realities in the quote real world. It's going to be very different from week one. Week one, I had 34 slides in total. This week, half that many, 17. And also, we'll look at the question, does the spiritual realm interact with our realm? I have some believers in here already, I know it. I've had conversations with many of you. As a reminder, there's going to be some freaky stuff coming, right? There was an email sent out if you're on the email chain. We'll be discussing hell as well as heaven, and I have some intense-ish content, so parents, remember, you've been warned. Right, my daughter's here. She's 9. Hi, June. There. We talked about it beforehand. She's ready to go. Week 3, that'll be next week, last week. Deep dive into a new perspective, perhaps, on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then what do we do with all that? How do we proceed? How are we in 2026 in America, for example, supposed to act? All right. Got some reminders. This is I threw a lot at everybody last week, so I'm just going to go through quickly some of the terms we have to understand to have more of an ancient concept of what they were actually writing about, right? Not America 2026. That's not when the Bible was written. It was written way back in the day. A Hebrew word, Elohim. What, anybody remember what that means? Oh, it's up there, isn't it? Dang it. All right. Never mind. Elohim, if anybody can read, you can see it. Beings that exist in the spiritual realm. You can think of angels and demons, right? That's usually what we say. That's not where it ends, right? When we die, we are with God in the spirit realm, and so we would be like Elohim, not gods. It's different, but that's the word they used, yeah? What is the personal name of the one true God? Yahweh, right? This is not polytheism we're professing here at Cornerstone Church. This is monotheism. God with a capital G, his name is Yahweh. He's it, right? He's the divine being, created everything else. Angel, I won't click yet, right? What does angel actually mean? Yeah, messenger. So you can have people be an angel, right? But in the old Greek, it's not how we use it today, though. So when we say angel, we actually mean an Elohim, a spirit being who's coming here and doing something with us, right? Or we mean something else with it, too. It could be an Elohim somewhere else. Cool. So it's a job title, not what the being is. Demon, malicious Elohim, spirit being that is opposed to us, hates us, wants nothing but ill to happen to us. Those are our actual enemies, by the way. Nobody sitting in here is your enemy. Nobody outside in the world, no image bearer, no human being, right, of God, is your actual enemy, right? It may seem that way at times, but they're not. Last point was nations. Those are real actual regions ruled by real actual Elohim. I won't go into all the details again, but that concept of nations, like we have a president, he's a dude, right? The Germans had a female prime minister a while back. She was not a dude, but still in charge, right? It's not like that. Not people in charge of these regions, but Elohim, spirit beings, demonic, if you want to use that term, yeah, for them. Okay. The big takeaways from last week. If you got these three things, you're in great shape. The spirit realm is real. That's one, right? It's not pretend, right? They're not ghosts biblically, not according to the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says, so they're not ghosts, but there are things like what we would say angels and demons. Second, God is at war with his rebellious Elohim. We can think demonic powers there, right? The demons created spirit beings on our behalf. This is pretty important to grasp, so I'll spend a quick second here. We're at war with them, right? And Adam bequeathed us the losing hand. We can't win, right? It's not possible for us to win this fight on our own. We can't do it. Adam lost it, and we've been losing ever since. We, just people, yeah? That's why we need God, capital G God, to fight on our behalf. More on that next week especially. Old Testament and New Testament authors all wrote the books of the Bible in constant struggle against the ever-present rebellious Elohim. Remember, think demons. That's the word we would probably most associate with it. And the struggle continues to today. Yeah? Things are happening today in the spirit realm that affect us. And I think we can also affect the spirit realm. Okay. So, any questions there? We're good? Fair enough? Sweet. Recall that today's big question is, does the spiritual realm interact with our realm? That's what we're going to be getting into. Take a look at people having heavenly and hellish experiences outside of their own bodies. This is at least what they claim, and there's evidence to back up that this actually happened. And now, to paint a picture of hell. All right. Hell in the Bible. This is a parable, right? Keep in mind this is a parable of Jesus, straight from the mouth of Yahweh, of the God, capital G God. Okay, I'm not going to read it. You can read it on your own time, just in the interest of time. I'll give you the summary. Rich man and Lazarus, right? This rich guy is going around doing rich guy things, having all this money, being rich, and walks by a guy who's a beggar, right? Doesn't have much of anything and needs help, and he just walks by being a rich guy, doing rich guy things, and completely ignores him, right? The end result is Lazarus makes himself right with God, right? Lets God be God, wants a relationship. He's in heaven. The rich man only cared about himself, wants nothing to do with God. He winds up in hell, right? They made their choices. Now, this is where it gets really freaky, yeah? If you remember this one, this is very interesting stuff. Takeaways, heaven and hell from Jesus' mouth, right, are real. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and people go to one or the other. Yeah. Also, there's a chasm talked about between them. You could think of that as like a void, a space, a chasm. We can't pass between the two, right? There's a gap. They're not the same. Chasm between them. And, this is interesting, if you read the parable, you see that the guy in hell, the rich guy, can see Lazarus with Abraham. And not only can he see from hell through a chasm into heaven and focus on one guy, right? There are two guys, Abraham with Lazarus, but he speaks with Abraham. Doesn't say they come together, right? So heightened sight, heightened sense of hearing. Maybe they're not even talking with their voices, right? Some things to keep in mind. Now, I have some verses up here. If you want to take a minute to jot some of them down, that's fine. A quick search on Google, like how is hell described in the Bible? You'll come up with these and a ton more, yeah? So these are just a few of them. Some takeaways, and these are blanks in the notes. So if you got the notes today, this is the first. It says hellish. What did I write there? Hellish NDEs? Is that what it says? whatever it says the first one. The blank's there. You're going to get them now. So hell is a pit. That's the first one. Hell is in part described as a pit, right? Pit. Go down. It's below us with its inhabitants descending to get there. It's talked about different ways, descending. They go down into the pit, right? It's always below us. And here's a bunch of them for you to fill in. There is fire, that's the blank there, below us, with fire, darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Interestingly, I won't really get into it, but gnashing of teeth to the Hebrews, remember, Bible written for, but not to us. Gnashing of teeth was an act of defiance, anger, forget you. Yeah, you're doing this to me. I don't accept you. I don't want you. I hate you. That gnashing, if you see someone so angry, like they think that might hurt you or kill somebody, right? That's the idea. That's the gnashing of teeth. And we got, oops, sorry. Need to go back. Can I go back? I can. Separation from God and his love and goodness. That's also spoken of a whole bunch. Okay. Now I have a video for you, actually. Near-death experiences that real people have had, and I have three of them in the video, meaning they died as we understand death, right? Some of you guys are really up on your Bible knowledge. It's appointed to man once to die and the judgment, right? So, like, you could use that and say, shouldn't be coming back. Well, to us, they died, but they're still in the same body as before. They came back into their body, and so to us, they died and came back. They saw something freaky. Okay. Now, hellish NDEs. I'll say NDE from now on, near-death experience. Again, that means they died, right? Probably fully died. Sometimes it's measured, like heart stopped, brain stopped for even hours on end, and they come back and say they saw something. The S should be lowercase to make it plural. So hellish NDEs. A short description of each clip will appear before the individual clip plays, so you'll see a description of the person and what you're being dropped into. And keep in mind, these are people who had an experience they don't really have words for, right? And we're hearing it through their filter. They're still real actual people. They're just talking to you, like sharing a story, except it didn't happen in this realm, yeah? Also be prepared to compare what they claim they saw with what the Bible teaches in small groups after the video. Doesn't have to be anything too crazy. Just turn to the people near you. But what you'll be doing after is comparing what they claim they saw with what the Bible teaches about hell. You ready? Okay.
So I was falling in this black abyss, falling so fast. It was so fast, and I could feel the wind from falling. It was taking my breath away. I couldn't even breathe. And right away, I everything is enhanced a million times. Like, you know everything instantly. You feel everything instantly. You hear everything instantly. Instantly. This black abyss wasn't just like my black t-shirt. Imagine this black enhanced by a million. Oh, that's how black. It was so black in this tunnel, or whatever it was. It was just, imagine just go somebody taking you in an airplane above a desert in the middle of the night and just pushing you off that airplane, and it's pitch black. And I was falling and falling and falling. And right away, my soul told me, right away, your soul talks to you. Like, it's I can't explain it. Like, the way I explain it in words is the closest I can get to the reality of it. But I was falling so fast. And usually when you have a dream that you're falling, you'll pop up. And that's what I was waiting for. I was like, well, come on, what? And then I knew right away when my soul told me, you're dead.
As I give up, all of a sudden I find myself that I'm no longer high. I wake up and it feels like somebody grabs me and drops me in this outer darkness. And I start racing down this black tunnel. It is the darkest, darkest that I've ever seen. I mean, it's just pitch black. And I just remember a free falling is an endless free falling.
And you're not high anymore.
I am not high. I am definitely know what's going on and where I'm at. And I'm shocked because I'm just like, what happened? That's when I realized I died. And so as I'm going down, the next thing that comes to my head is, oh my God, I died and I'm going to hell. And so as
how did you know that?
I knew that because as I'm going down this tunnel, it felt like there was a pulling away from God. I don't know how to explain it other than it felt like being cast out into outer space, like this place of void, an emptiness. And so I just felt like I was just being pulled away from everything, including God.
And then at the same time, I heard it was like this low chanting that I just had this knowing that it was demonic voices. And it was just like, just a really low, like chanting. I can't even do what I heard. It was just like this low, like chanting, murmuring. And I knew, I was like, now I'm hearing it. Now I'm hearing this other realm. It was like, fear came over me, absolute fear, gripping fear, rising fear. And so I'm hearing this chanting, I'm seeing the cage, and I'm going into like, and I knew it was a black abyss. I knew I was going there. And so what was happening at the time was I would slip into that, and from fear, like, oh my gosh, I'm going into this place, you know, this horrific, horrifying place. Come back, you know. I was just like trying to tell myself, like, no, come back. And that's why I cried out in that moment, because I said, God, I'm seeing this now, and now I see it's real. And I don't want to go there. I mean, I'm about to be caged up for eternity and tormented. And then, you know, as I was saying, it was just like, I knew it was demonic because of the fear. I can't even explain to people that gripping, paralyzing fear that came over me, that you don't want to be there. And so I just cried out to God and said, not that I want to be alive, but I don't want to go there. If you could do anything for me, please, I don't want to go there. I am so sorry, God. I just thought I was so sorry.
Does that check with what the Bible tells us about hell? Take like a minute, maybe? Remember, they're real people, right? They're interpreting it in their own way, but talking in your groups, does that seem plausible? Does that seem like it scans with the Bible? Go ahead. Okay, about 10 more seconds. Okay. Kinda hate to cut this off. Sounds like there's some pretty intense conversations happening. What did you guys come up with? Is this, for example, the hell that the Bible talks about? Is this something like hell? Remember, these people came back, right? They didn't wind up at their eternal destination. They're back in their own skin, walking around telling people about where they were. What do we got? Who's got something? Somebody's got something. No. Yeah. These are tame. I did not pick the real scary ones. Yeah. There's some that are truly horrifying. Really. Yeah. That's bad enough, right? Talking about the fear, the eternal separation, I'm being pulled away from God and all that's good, right? That makes my skin's crawling. What else? What are the similarities? Yeah. Falling. Darkness. A pit. Yep. It's the demonic realm. Chanting. A lot of the things that we think of as demonic are real. They come from somewhere, right? Yeah. Okay. So this, I believe, is outer darkness. You heard the second guy talk about a void, right? He was in darkness. He was like being pulled away on the outside. I believe that's where they were, right? If you watch Amir's story, the first guy, I have the links, right? If you want to go online and find the links. He winds up seeing his eternal destination, and right before, I won't spoil it for you, but he calls on God, and that's, right, he probably would be there now, right, if not for that call, that last second call. A lot to unpack there, but here's the commonalities, right, among these, and you guys mentioned it, right, there's some commonalities among these near-death experiencers. Darkness, like always, they always talk about darkness, and like you can't even conceive of the darkness. Heightened senses. Yeah, so they could see more. You heard Amir saying, like, instantly, everything happened instantly. And they have senses they can't even explain, right? Like, how do I know this? I don't know. His soul's talking to him. What's that even mean? What's that like? Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't actually know. But no sense of time, interestingly. Was it a minute? Was it a year? Was it 1,000 years? They don't know. And that checks with 2 Peter, right? 3:8. In the spirit realm, a day is like 1,000 years to God. 1,000 years like a day. We got the falling. We've got, not in these, but indescribably hideous demons, indescribably cruel people, indescribable pain and torment, and then indescribable hopelessness and fear. And she kept saying it, right? The last one, Yen, she just kept saying over and over and over in different ways. She's like, I can't even explain to you the fear. Can't even, never had it, anything like it in this realm. Okay. Not all have all these, right? We saw some of them had a few of them. Nobody in those had all of those. If you watch the full length, a lot of them do have all of those experiences. The worst, according to most, is the last, right? The hopelessness and fear, the horror and the finality of it, of where they're going. That's the worst. Some of them are tormented before, right? They're tortured. And they say that's not even as bad as knowing that this is it. It's over. You made your choice. Yeah? Okay. I have a special guest coming up. Many of you know her well. I'm going to go through this here just really quick. Deathbed experiences, probably about what you'd expect, right? Someone's dying on their deathbed and they have some kind of out-of-body experience. As people are in their last hours and moments, some predictable biological things happen, right? But also some intensely spiritual things too. So, Ashley, if you want to start making your way up, I'll introduce you as you come, and we can, I don't know how you want to set that up, I'll let you mess around with that. So Ashley, here she is a member of Cornerstone since last year, works as a hospice care nurse. Some kids are in here, maybe if you don't know what hospice care is, these are people who, the doctors and all say there's no hope, they're going to die, let's just make them comfortable while they do. Yeah? So that's what she does now, and she's going to share some of her experiences, including those with people in their last hours and last moments of life on Earth. And did you want to sit, or do we want to stand?
I prefer to stand.
Well, let's stand. Let's stay standing. Cool.
Can you guys hear me okay? Yes. Good. Okay.
All right. Well, here we go. To start off, you want to share about how you came to faith in Jesus.
Yeah. So I don't have a specific story that I want to share about how I came to faith in Jesus. I've always been raised in the church. My family was Pentecostal, Southern Pentecostal. So I've always had a church presence. However, I'm going to share more of like a spiritual testimony, if everyone's okay with that. I do have more details if anyone's curious. I can go deeper in. You can just see me after the service. I don't want to take up too much time. But the spiritual testimony, just to start off, I didn't believe in ghosts. We'll do the ghosts. That's how I knew it. I just knew it was ghosts. It wasn't until maybe my mid-20s that I realized, oh, ghosts aren't real. It's spirits. So Gavin and I, we lived in Michigan. Hunter was approximately 5, I would say. Kelsey was a baby. We had a family friend visit, actually one of Gavin's really good friends, who we thought was a friend. We really do believe that he left a demonic presence in our house, because about maybe 3 days later, Hunter started coming to us and telling us that there was a face in the window that was tapping on his window at night. So we thought somebody was messing around with us, so Gavin kind of sat up, watched the window, no one ever came. When Gavin went to bed the next night, same thing. So we just kind of ignored it. We're like, you know, he's 5 years old. He's probably just seeing things, hearing things. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. I worked part-time, sorry. So I was home one day, and Hunter was playing in his room, and he's, like, talking. And I'm like, oh, who are you talking to, bud? And he said his friends. He had 3 little friends that were boys. I just assumed imaginary friends. Didn't think anything of it. Okay. A few nights later, he comes into our room crying that his friends are waking up him up at night and want to play. At this point, it started getting a little weird, but we also thought that maybe it's just same thing, imaginary. Probably about a week later, Hunter was playing with these boys in our living room. I was home by myself with Kelsey and Hunter. Gavin was at work. And his friends, we had train tracks right in our backyard. His friends had asked him to go play on the train tracks, and I thought that was really weird. Hunter wouldn't just want to go play on the train tracks. Then I had a jumper that Kelsey would go in. If anyone knows what a jumper is, it's like a little circular thing that you put the baby in, and they can jump up and down. He pointed to the jumper, the circle, and he looked down and he said, my friends went down there, their dad's calling them, and they want me to come with them. So that's not something a 5-year-old, I feel like, would say. Kind of weird. So the stuff continued. We were believers, yes, but we hadn't cleansed our house. We weren't super big into our faith at that time. And every day Hunter would play with these 3 imaginary boys. Wasn't sure what they were. And one day I went in his room while he was playing with these boys, and I said, this is a house of God, you need to leave. And I felt like a breeze, like my hair blew. It was like a breeze. I didn't, at this time, I still thought ghost was the term. I didn't believe in ghosts. But at that point, I thought, okay, this is ghosts. This is real. So we contacted my grandpa, who's a pastor, Pentecostal pastor in Kentucky, told him our story. He said we needed to cleanse our house immediately. We need to go in every room and we need to pray. He gave us a scripture to pray. So we did that. We prayed in every room. We saved Hunter's for last. And when we got to Hunter's, we both stood at the doorway and we prayed. And I'm not even kidding. Gavin can tell you the same thing. We can't explain the feeling that we got. But when we prayed, it was like a freight train, like just a feeling in my chest, like I was smacked in the chest. But the day that we did that, the night that we did that, we didn't have the kids in the home. Everyone was gone. Everything left the house. There was no more evil spirits, nothing. The next day, and from there forward, we never had any issues. So it was at that point where our faith grew stronger in Jesus, and we really realized, okay, there is heaven and hell, and there are demons and angels. So that's a little bit about my testimony. There's more to that story, but if you want more, you can see me after.
Yes. Please don't stop with all this here, right? I see some wide eyes. I see some people shaking heads. Like, some of you guys have had experiences like this. I had one similar. Not that, intense, but this stuff is real, yeah? And we need to be talking about it. We need to be open to talking to each other about it. Rooted in God's word, right? But talking about it. Okay. As a hospice nurse,
yes,
that you experience a lot of people's transitions to their eternal destination, would you share one that you would consider hellish?
Mm-hmm. So before I start, I am a certified hospice and palliative care nurse. I have a bachelor's of science in nursing, and I have 1 year left of my master's in science in nursing. So I'm very well versed in hospice, and I'm very well versed in the science of the body. So as a hospice nurse, my experience with a hellish experience, Rick had asked me to share one that really stuck out to me. And the one that really stuck out to me, this man was a known atheist. He was in his 70s, and he was dying from COPD. He was with me for probably about 4 or 5 months. He lived on his own, had children that lived nearby. He was in bed. The end of his life consisted of being in bed for a few days. He had some bodily things going on that were very unpleasant. During his passing, he got this look of terror on his face. It looked like he had got socked in the chest. He had lost his breath, and he was reaching, but not reaching a peaceful reach, more like reaching and grabbing, and he said, "The demons are pulling me." This man, it was the most terrible death I have ever experienced as a hospice nurse, because as a nurse, you want to make your patients comfortable. But not everyone can feel that, especially when they don't have their faith in Jesus. So all I could do was kind of sit there and watch him cling and try to fight what he had described as demons.
Right. And this is an atheist, well-known
atheist. He told me he was an atheist. Yeah.
Rejected God, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't have any business believing in demons, right? So why would his last moments be centered around trying to escape them? That just doesn't make sense. Are there commonalities among atheists that you see when they pass?
Yes. The commonalities, I've seen quite a few atheists pass, unfortunately. I do try to do my part as a Christian and bring Jesus and the gospel to my patients, but it doesn't always, you know, it's not always receptive. But commonalities would be a look of terror, reaching out like, please help me, screaming. But I would say the most bothersome thing that I see is that look of terror. You can just tell they're going somewhere where they don't want to go.
Yeah. What percentage of atheists would you say had some kind of horrific passing?
I would say about 90%. There's quite a few, but of the 10%, do I know where their faith actually was? Not sure. Could they have came to Jesus right before their passing? Possibly. So it could be 100%, but from what I see, 90%.
I asked her that question on the phone. We were talking about how this was going to go, and she said 90%, and I asked her to repeat it. Now, that's so high. That's like, you know, you don't throw the word proof around, right, really? But that's about as close to proof as something like this can come. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so high.
Yes.
90%.
It's extremely high.
No mistaking it.
Yeah, and okay. I wonder if it could be 100. And
it might be.
You know, that 10%, we just don't know where their heart is.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Let's go different route now. Let's start talking about those who put their faith in Jesus, yes? So how many of those who put their faith in Jesus had a pleasant passing?
I can say with certainty 100%.
I had to ask you to repeat that too. It's incredible, right? Like, I don't really have anything else to say about it. It's amazing,
it is amazing
that there's that. That's 100%. That's like causation, correlation, like, you know, quote, proof, right? I'm not going to say proof, but it's as close as you can come.
Yeah, I've never witnessed a passing.
That's crazy.
A good passing, you know, with a Christian that has been, I've never witnessed a passing that it was Christian, it was bad.
Sure.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yep, yeah. Do you have one of those stories you want to share?
Yeah, so It's hard. Rick had asked me if I could pick one, and it's hard to pick one because all of these experiences of Christians passing that I've witnessed have been beautiful. Yeah. The best word to describe it is beautiful, peaceful, so sweet. But there is one that really stood out to me. A woman that was in her 80s. She was passing from colon cancer, and she was afraid, but she was a believer. She read the Bible. She prayed. She put her faith in Jesus. Family was the same way. She didn't want to pass, though. She didn't want to leave her daughters. It was really hard for her. She was on her deathbed. She's laying in bed. She can't move. She can hardly talk. She fell asleep for about 2 days, and I spoke with the daughters, and I said, this is probably it. This is probably, you know, the end for Mom. You know, I do go by clinical signs as well, like their heart rate, their blood pressure, how they're breathing. She awoke from this deep sleep that she had for about 48 hours, and her husband was sitting right at her bedside. Her daughter was right next to her. And they're like, Mom, are you okay? What's going on? And she said, with this huge smile on her face, he's so beautiful. And her daughter had said to her, her daughter's a believer, but she couldn't believe it. And she said, who's so beautiful, Dad? Because Dad's sitting right there. You know, yeah, your husband's so beautiful. And she goes, no, Jesus, with this big smile on her face. And she did die 24 hours later, but she was able to tell us about that experience.
Yeah. What commonalities do you notice among people who would put their faith in Jesus then?
Commonalities, peaceful passing. Absolutely peaceful. I see a lot of people who do die with a smile on their face. A lot of people will reach, but it's a peaceful reaching. It's like this, kind of like, you know, you're worshiping. They'll see a light. They will talk to deceased ones, to loved ones. Just very calm passing. Mm-hmm.
And then, so we're up against it, but briefly, how would you explain the stark difference? We've kind of already touched on it, but just sum up what you see and the difference and why. Mm-hmm.
So I would say atheists, I do see, tend to suffer towards end of life, even when they're not necessarily 24 hours out from passing. Some of the symptoms they experience aren't as pleasant as those who are believers. I feel like I can make my believers comfortable, where my atheists, I'm constantly throwing medications at, like trying to make them comfortable, and it's just not working. Yeah. But then obviously, you know, the difference is bad passings, hellish passings is that reaching, like, please help me, whereas peaceful passings are like, please take me.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Very brave. Thank you. I'm going to go kind of quickly through these heavenly NDEs. I wasn't just going to leave you with your Carl Jung, who was, I believe, not, or was it Rogers? Dang it. Some psychologist said, don't leave people with their guts hanging out, right? Their psychological, emotional guts hanging out. So we're going to transition now straight into heavenly experiences. I have here, just very briefly, heaven in the Bible. This is in your notes. So if you want to just go ahead and copy this time, I have it right there for you to copy. So heaven is in part described as a paradise above us, remember? Below, now above, hell, now paradise, with light, not darkness, but light, emanating from Jesus, who is there, not down there, right? Not in the pit, not in hell. That's what you chose. You chose no God. That's what you're getting. Overwhelming joy, indescribable beauty. Recall, I mentioned this last week, Paul had an NDE, right? They beat him. He was dead, as far as we understand it, came back, and he didn't really know how to explain where he'd been. John, right, writer of Revelation, he had visions. He didn't die, as far as we can tell, right, but he was transported away to this other place. They also struggled to find words to accurately describe the experiences, so keep that in mind for these people who you're going to see here in a minute. And I do want to share this with you. So the best way I think I've heard it explained, with these people coming back and trying to explain what they saw, have you heard of Flatland? Yeah? So picture there's that painting, it's a picture there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's black and white for those of you who can't see at home. And that's where you live. You're in a painting. Two dimensions. That's what you got. You got black, you got white, right? You can move around in your little flat surface and you got black and white. Somebody goes out of that, sees this, and then goes back in. How do you explain that to people? They're going to call you a nutter. They're going to say you're crazy. You won't be able to explain it. How are you going to explain this with black, the words black and white, and just the two dimensions, right? You really can't, but they do the best they can. So, heavenly NDEs, you guys, well, I'll ask you afterwards. Actually, let's just skip the discussion part. Let's just do the video. So I'll play the video for you. Same deal as before. You'll see a little explainer of what's about to come. I have four of them this time, and it's about 6 minutes long. Keep in mind yourselves. Now, won't talk as a group, but keep in mind, is this what the Bible is teaching? Does this scan, or is this somebody trying to make something up and make money, right, for example? Okay.
Thank you. God began to withdraw part of himself, and I could see something infinitely far away, but it was as if it was right in front of me. And it was heaven. I could see the grass and the trees and the flowers, and I could see every detail. I could see every individual blade of grass. I could see every vein in every leaf, every needle on every pine tree. I could see everything in the and even the grass was singing the praises of God. There was music they were singing. Now, they weren't singing in words, and if you asked me to reproduce that sound, I couldn't. But all I can say is even the blades of grass were singing the praises of God. And the colors were so alive that the most beautiful day on earth is just a reflection of those colors.
And then the full enormity of what had just been said sunk in. I had come home. For the first time in my life, I wandered the world looking for home. And for the first time, I felt at home. And now I was being sent back. And I began to beg. I began to plead. I began to cry. Please don't send me back, Jesus. Please, this is what I've yearned for all my life. I am so sorry that I didn't recognize it sooner. Let me stay. And I actually said this. I said, please, Jesus, let me stay. I won't be any trouble. To the Son of God. And he smiled even more. I was desperate. And suddenly two guardians are beside me. They lift me up and turn me, and I don't give up easy. And I struggle to get free, to plead with Jesus one more time, and I managed to wrench around and over and look back. And Jesus had gone, but exactly where Jesus had stood, Kathy, in the exact spot, was the warrior angel. 15 feet tall, 6 foot wingspan, 12 feet altogether, and he began to rise in all his glory, in gold and splendor, and he spread his wings. And of course, the message was, the way forward for me was closed.
Browns and greens and blues, and those were the colors of his eyes.
And how did you feel when he was looking into your eyes?
My kid. Everything I would say would be cliche. I felt home. It was my home. He was my father, my friend. He was everything I had ever hoped for, everything I could have dreamed, but beyond that. He loved me with a consummate love because he was love. And I had never known the person of love. I had known the emotion of love. I'd known all of these other facets of love, but being in the presence of the person of love was entirely different. And everything I felt like I was the most special person. I felt like I was the only person in the world. I knew Jesus cared for everyone, but that's how he looked at me. That's how he treated me, like I was the only one. All of this, the world, the millions that he had charge over, watching over, and I felt like I was the only one. I was the only one. I was the most special person in the world, and that's how he viewed me, and he was restoring what I had lost in my life, and he was revealing to me something that I never understood, and that he was with me even when I was not with him, and even when I was an agnostic and had denied him, that he still was watching over me and waiting for me to come to him.
I knew that if I was the only person in all of creation that ever would have said yes to him, he would have gone to that cross and died just for me. Just for me. Just for me. And I knew the truth of that. I knew the truth of it. I had never contemplated. Me with as filthy as I felt that I was, as unworthy as I felt that I was, and yet I knew that was so undeniably true. And this was also undeniably true, that he would do that for you and everybody else. There is not a single person that he has created that he wouldn't have done that for. And this is another part of that. He wants so badly to have a personal relationship with us. He wants a relationship that's closer than we can have with a loving spouse. He wants to do that. Not only does he want to, he can.
Okay. Those are so beautiful. I've watched those. I had to watch them like probably 30 times each, getting that video together. And still, like, I'm happy to be here with you all right now, but I can't wait. Okay, I'm going to move quickly through these here. Please look into this stuff. Yeah, I'll give you some ways to do that at the end. Near-death experience commonalities for the heavenly ones. Living light, right? The Bible talks about Jesus as light. He is light. Light is Jesus in heaven, not the sun and the moon. Literally, Jesus is light. Heightened senses, new senses. Again, no sense of time. Flying upward is a common theme. Indescribably beautiful Elohim, right? The angels, if you will. Jesus and his angelic beings. Indescribably radiant and healthy people. Right, they always see people who are dead over there, already dead, never see people who are alive. Very interesting. They're not here, where people are still alive here. They're over there. Indescribable joy and pleasure, and indescribable love and peace. And they're pretty well the opposites, if you can picture the slide where I had the commonalities for the hellish ones. Exact opposites. God or no God. One or the other. Okay, paradise, again, the star attraction, right? I picked a few of them to talk about Jesus in particular. Jesus is described as brighter than all the other beings. He lights up heaven. He literally, actually lights up heaven. He kept his scars. I didn't have that in there, but a lot of them notice in his wrist, hand, like they talk about it being right there. He kept his scars as a reminder of what it cost. Nobody else has scars, though. He doesn't judge. He gives gentle correction. He does prod people to go back and love others better, right? Not just do better, but love. That's what he wants from us. And then they frequently beg to stay with him. Okay. Recognizing the time here, I want to give these their due respect, though, because we a lot of us know these people. They've passed on to be with the Lord. And this is the first one, if you know Craig Kite, right? He's been coming here for years and years. His wife Sarah passed a number of years ago, and he shared with me the time leading up to that. Keep in mind the way that people Ashley was talking about passed on, and keep in mind what heaven is, how it's described in the Bible and how it was described here. That'll help you interpret what she said. So the night before she passed, she was in lots of pain. She never took meds. Right? She refused to take meds. She wouldn't put that stuff in her, but she was of sound mind, just in a lot of pain. They did fluid suctions. She had breast cancer. They did fluid suctions to get fluid out of her chest, and it failed that day at around 9 a.m. Typically, she would just be exhausted afterwards. She would slump over. It would take a long while for her to be able to interact with people again. Atypically this time, she was not tired. They did that. It failed. She was alert and awake. She had a lot of questions, though. Okay, now reminder, consider her answers as if she had just been to paradise and seen Jesus and she was leaving her body and coming back. So use that as your frame of reference. The doctor came in, asked her how she's doing. Sarah said, "I'm a child of God." Not your typical answer. If she'd just been with him, being his child face to face, makes sense. Sarah asked Craig, "Why am I here?" Craig said, "You have cancer." Sarah said, "Oh, am I alive?" Sarah asked Craig, "Where are we?" Craig said, "In the hospital, trying to be positive." He said, "You have cancer, but you're going to beat it." And she asked, "Why?" She doesn't want to be here anymore, you know? She doesn't want to leave her family and all that. If you knew Sarah, she loved her family. She had seen Jesus, I believe. And she was ready. Why? Why beat it? It's okay. The last one here. Pastor Nate has shared a bunch about his nephew who passed a few months ago. I'll tell you a few things about Teelson, and then I'm going to share his last words with you. Teelson was very short-sighted. If you ever met him, he had thick glasses, right? Like he couldn't see very far without them at all. He was in a car wreck one morning. Not his fault. Somebody, we believe, cut him off. He's in a car wreck. He's pinned there, right? First responders show up. His glasses came off at some point. I don't know when, but he does not have his glasses on. First responders pulled him out. His glasses are off. His last words on this earth were, "I can see." He could see. Okay. What do we do with this? We have next steps. I'll reveal them here. They're in your program. They're on the back, right? So probably you won't be able to read them. They're kind of small. Maybe you can. But anyway, they're in your program on the back. First recommendation, and you can do these or do something else, whatever you like. Check out some of the passages listed in the sermon. It's available online, especially to you who maybe couldn't see the videos online, I'm guessing. It's all available there shortly to see what the Bible says about the other realms. Bible is our truth and firm foundation. All this is helpful, I think, to paint a picture, and as long as it's founded in biblical truth, I think we can look at it and be inspired one way or another. Second, seek some experts' materials, delve into the topic, and you guys can read that. I'll tell you right now, I have the books I recommended there. This is from Dr. Raymond Moody. He stayed like an agnostic for years after having written this book, but he made a very bold claim back in the 70s that death isn't the end, right? And there's real, actual scientific evidence studies here in this one. And then I also have Imagine Heaven. The interviewer there for most of the videos is John Burke. Check out his book here. He has other books, or just go to YouTube. His stuff is incredible. I highly recommend looking into it. And then lastly, if you've had one, share your NDE or otherworldly experience with someone. There's a very good chance, actually, they've experienced something of the sort or know someone personally whom they believe who has had some kind of experience like that. It's just not something people tend to talk about because you seem crazy to a lot of people, right? That's just the way it is. So that's it for today. I'll be back next week to finish it up. Take some time, like a minute, think about the next steps you want to take, and then we got John coming back up for another song.
Sunday morning when it's my turn to lead, and I'm sure he does every other Sunday too, but I didn't know what the talk was going to be about when I picked this song, and it fits right in. And I could say a lot, but all I'll say is the book Imagine Heaven that he showed you, I read that a while back. My wife was reading it, and I'm like, ooh, that looks good, and amazing, amazing, amazing. One of the big themes that runs through it to all these people are don't make me go back, and to that earth. So this is just, we're gonna worship that Jesus that we were talking about. So if you want to stand up.
Thank you.
day closer to seeing him face to face. Take that with you this week and go in Jesus' name.
Yeah, you guys can have a seat quick. One day closer. I like that, John. Well, thanks for being with us today. If this is your first Sunday, thanks for joining us. We have one more week with Herr Hadley, Rick Hadley. He is the German teacher in Kutztown, if you don't know. So everybody calls him Herr Hadley. And then Nate will be back next Sunday to lead worship. And the following week, Nate will be back at the pulpit preaching. We have a lot going on in August, but to kick it off on August 2nd is Kutztown Day. And Cornerstone and Oasis set up a stand in the park, and we do Gaga Ball and Cornhole and give away prizes and really just interact with the community. Nate sent a big email this week. If you're on our email list, you probably saw it. There are like 9 different things happening between now and next June. So lots to keep your eye on, but there were some sign-up sheets. One of them is for this. If you're interested in helping out and are going to be around next Sunday, we would love if you signed up for a shift. You can check that out in the email. If you didn't get the email, you can talk to me, or you can fill out the tear-off in your bulletin, drop it in the offering box in the back, and get on the email list. One other thing I just wanted to highlight from Nate's email is this church camping trip that we're going to be doing next summer, next June. The reason I'm bringing it up now is just to keep those dates in mind, and we did reserve some sites ahead of time, and if you're interested in one, you can snag one. There are still more sites that we can book at the campground, but it's a pretty popular campground, apparently, so there was not too much available, so we want to get on top of that. It is a beautiful campground. I've camped there before. It's right on the Pine Creek, so it's a wonderful time. Hope if you like to be outside and camp, that is something you might want to look into. And I think that's all we have. So have a great week, and it was good to see you all today. Thanks. Snacks and fellowship downstairs if you want to hang around.